The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has filled out its leadership under an unusual political deal. The Senate has confirmed the agency's enforcement chief, Norman Bay, to chair the commission, but he's going to have to wait 9 months. In the interim, Acting Chairman Cheryl LaFleur will continue to lead the agency, and Bay will serve as a board member while learning the ropes. Here to shed some light on this unusual case is Don Kettle. He's a professor at the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland. Hi, Don.
Hi, Emily. Great to be with you this morning.
So, Don, how unusual is it that a Senate-confirmed chairman will have to wait 9 months?
This is just extraordinary, and it's a reflection of the truly bizarre politics that have built up around Senate confirmation. I simply have never known a case where we've appointed somebody to serve as chair, but tell them that they essentially have to ride on training wheels in the bicycle for 9 months until the Senate or the president or someone thinks that they're capable of doing the job. Then we, in the meantime, have Cheryl LaFleur, who's the acting commissioner, having to sit there for a long period of time, not knowing exactly how long she's going to be in the job. It undermines her, but simply just makes it so difficult for Norman Bay to be able to take the helm in a way that is in any kind of way predictable. It is just crazy and bizarre. I've never seen anything quite like this.
All right, so I mean this seriously. What were they thinking?
What they were thinking is that we have Senator Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. She's the ranking Republican member in the Senate Energy Committee. She did not like the idea of having Bay on board. There's a long tradition on this commission of having someone who's already sitting on the board to be serving as the head. And this case, Bay was not. The president wanted him. The Democrats were trying to find a way to get him through. Murkowski was blocking it. So they said, well, how about if we work out a compromise? Work out a compromise where he'll sit on the board. He'll be able to sit there and learn the ropes. We'll keep the acting commissioner, which for the most part, most people seem to like, and keep her on board for a while. And then he'll move into the helm once everybody's convinced that he's had a chance to be able to learn the job. It's part of the internal politics of this to be able to get the commission management through, but it just doesn't really make any sense in terms of providing long-term leadership in an agency that, frankly, most people haven't heard about, which is extraordinarily important in managing all the interstate battling and regulations and policy issues that have to do with interstate transportation of energy, like the Alaska pipeline, like transportation of coal and other things that have to do with energy across state lines.
I mean, let's face it, Norman Bay is a prosecutor, and maybe the administration wanted him because in a lot of cases he's been documented to have been pretty antithetical to some of the large users of utilities and also some of the utilities themselves.
Yeah, underlying all this is a concern of the part of some people in the energy community that this represents part of what they've been calling the administration's war on coal. It is clear that the administration would like to regulate the use of coal and use that to try to reduce pollution across the country. That's surely at the bottom of all this. And there's concern, Lisa Murkowski, she's from Alaska. The primary piece of the actions they have here is the Alaska pipeline. There's concern about the way in which Bay might very well oversee FERC's regulation of these transportation issues, about the energy issues and other things that go along. There are underlying policy battles here that are shaping what is just truly a peculiar personnel set of policies here.
And can you shed some light on when an agency head actually has to really know everything that an agency does? Here we have Norman Bay, who in fact already works for FERC, but there are certain instances lately in congressional confirmation hearings of, say, ambassadors being appointed to countries where they've never visited even, where they're kind of they don't show themselves to be very secure on the knowledge of what's happening in that country. But the theory is that the staff is going to help out.
Well, and this is a very difficult and delicate matter of trying to balance these things back and forth. On the one hand, the administration's gotten itself just incredibly embarrassed lately by some ambassadorial appointments with people who clearly don't even know the country, never been to the country, don't show much knowledge about the country. And that's raised a lot of problems. But on the other hand, we have a guy here who certainly has as much experience as many people have who have been in charge of major regulatory agencies. He's worked for the agency. He knows the policies. He's supported by the staff, and he's the choice of the president. And by at least that kind of a threshold, he certainly is capable of doing the job. The problem has to do in part with the underlying traditions of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which has tended to have people who have already served on the board take over for his chair. So that's part of what's going on. But it's also part of the internal politics here about the not only the war on coal that the administration is accused of waging, but also basic underlying policy disputes about the role that energy production and shipping ought to play and the role that FERC could play in frustrating the views of some people in the industry. So it's just layers upon layers upon layers in this that, as so often been the case lately, has been just playing itself out on the floor of the Senate and in the battle between the Senate and the White House.
And once he becomes the actual chairman, having gone through this process, from a management standpoint, do you think that he'll be able to have the authority and gravitas he needs, knowing he's been through schooling first, even though he got the job 9 months earlier?
Well, exactly. It's not only a matter just of going through schooling, but the sense that he needed to have the schooling before he could be trusted with taking the job. And just imagine if you were taking over in a position in charge of making important decisions on matters of vital national importance, and you're stepping into the job with a consensus being that you just didn't really know enough to do the job to begin with. That'd be the question, well, have you learned enough in the last 9 months to take it over? What is it that really was lacking to begin with? It just undermines his authority from the very start, even if at the end of 9 months everybody says, well, he went to school, it was successful, he had his training wheels, he now knows how to ride the big boy bike. It is just a very, very difficult position into which to put somebody, not only just in any kind of agency, but especially in an agency like this that has so much power, so much influence, and is so often hidden from public view.
We're speaking with Don Kettle. He's a professor at the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland. So what's your advice to Norman Bay? Presuming that he would ask, what can he do in the next 9 months so that when he does take the helm, he's got the respect and power that any sort of chairman should have?
Well, there are two things. The first is that he's in this peculiar position of being chair in waiting to someone who is the acting chair. And so he has to work very closely with Cheryl LaFleur, who's going to be continuing during this period of tutelage. And so he's got to both work closely with her and associate himself enough so that some of the confidence that the Senate has in her rubs off on him. And then, of course, behind the scenes, he has to go to school in a way that he learned so much that there never can possibly be any doubt whatsoever about his ability to be able to take over the leadership of this agency. So he's got the behind-the-scenes work to do that's going to require careful and close work with the staff and confidence among members of the staff. But then on top of that, he's got to try to make sure that he doesn't allow anybody to slip a piece of paper between him and the acting chairman of the commission. And behind the scenes, and this may be the third and most important piece, he's got to work the chairman and the committee members on Capitol Hill in a way that he can try to build their support and their confidence along the way so that there's no possibility later on of continuing battles. That may be the toughest thing of all, given both the way this started and the ongoing policy disputes in which he's sure to find themselves. But if he can do those three things, he's got a fighting chance of being able to be successful. But it should be such a tough position in which to find himself as things get started.
So this is not exactly like King James I with the Earl of Moray and the Earl of Lennox and the Earl of Mar and the Earl of Morton serving as regents until he's old enough to make a decision.
it's not like that historically, but you're going to feel like that politically, at least for a while. And just one more sign of what is happening in Washington right now that makes it so difficult to lead and to govern, and especially in the disputes that there are between the Senate and the White House. This is something that we have to find a way through because there's so many important policy issues that are hanging out there. But we've had long histories in the past of regents stepping in and trying to rule on behalf of a king who's not old enough and wise enough yet to take office, and that doesn't tend to work out very well.
Don Kettle is a professor of the public at the School of Public Policy at the University of Maryland. Don, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you there, Tom.